the... What day is today? Wednesday? It's Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
Wednesday edition. The Thursday Night Football, one day away. Saw the Amazon trucks when I was at Lambeau yesterday.
What were they delivering?
A lot of cable and cameras and staffers as they get ready to call Thursday Night Football at Lambeau Field edition. And the injury report doesn't look so bad anymore. And I want to thank Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson for letting us know that Christian Watson and Aaron Jones are playing tomorrow night. Edition. They're going to be on the same list as Steno in terms of talking to the media. I'm Will Dantausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson celebrating an NL Central Championship.
Is he?
I'm trying to will that. I'm trying to manifest that. In the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And looky who else is in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar studios. A ray of sunshine himself.
You act surprised. I'm here all the time.
He lights up our life like Everlight Solar. He is Packers Ring of Honor member, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you tell me if Jesse's excited about this, because he puts on the rundown, and I don't know if the video could pick this up.
Look at you reading the rundown.
Here is how he puts the rundown in. Not awesome job. What a great season. I can't believe the Brewers were able to overcome that stinko sweepo versus the stinky A's. Instead, here's his quote. Of course they win the division on a night which they lose to the last place team. That's on the rundown from him. Johnny Brewer, dad's an usher, loves the Brewers, wearing the Brewers gear, and that's what he puts down on the rundown. Does that sound like somebody that's excited about the Brewers winning another division championship?
So this is the conversation we've had many times, not just about Jesse, not just about the Brewers getting swept by the A's. How can you not be romantic about baseball? But people who make predictions or bold claims, not everyone does this, but people who do this in turn then root to be right, even if it means rooting against their favorite team.
That's crazy.
And Jesse Nelson, from the moment he held them after getting swept by Oakland, he's been ruining this day. So, he could see it coming,
yep,
and he just doesn't want to celebrate.
It started matriculating. So if we want to put a pin in why and how it happened, because I believe after they were swept by the A's, they were three games back of Cincy maybe. It was ugly. What changed? The offense was pretty putrid for the majority of that first part of the season. What changed? Why are the Brewers now where they're at? I give Matt Arnold a ton of credit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Craig Counsell a ton of credit. But I think it's Yelich. I think it's Christian Yelich is what he turned his season around. And I don't know what his stat line's going to end up being. But I think him just being back to not an MVP, but back to just being a good baseball player, I think swung the gates open. All the young talent that came in gave boosts and jump starts. Woody coming back. There's a lot of things that go into it. But the fact that the Brewers were celebrating last night, and I can't believe Hunter from our, Hunter's produced, big Cowboy fan. He's a teammate here at ESPN Madison. He goes to the game. It's a clinching game. Not a playoff game. A clinching game.
Sure.
He leaves.
Got to beat the traffic.
Unbelievable.
He leaves at the, what is he doing?
They didn't lose.
They won the division.
Everybody went down there to celebrate last night, to be a part of it.
Uh-huh.
And he leaves. So the whole thing over here, the office here, it's just a little, it feels weird. Like for a, we are the home of the Milwaukee Brewers, the WTMJ. We're the home. We should be ecstatic, and I sense our director, what the heck is your title anyways here?
delegator.
The chief delegator of ESPN
Day
Madison
offer taker.
Is, I mean, lukewarm at best excited. Hunter is down there. He doesn't even stay to watch. You don't know how many more of these celebrations we're going to have. So it's, I'm excited. I was part of, you know, I was right there with Jesse.
Yeah.
I'm not running from that. I thought it was brutal, and I thought our offense wasn't good enough. It was good enough. It was good enough to win, and even with losing, you still clinch and give yourself that buffer. Congrats to the Milwaukee Brewers. Congrats to everybody involved, because what they've done, what is it, the last 6 years? Five postseason appearances.
Three division titles.
We're living in the golden era of the Milwaukee Brewers baseball, and I guess like Jesse said, with the Dodgers signing Shohei Ohtani, this is our last chance. But the excitement of playoff baseball is just, it's even more so than NFL and anything else. It's just, you're on pins and needles for everything. And the fact that we, as Brewer fans, get to enjoy, and for a lot of us, fully jump on the bandwagon now.
Mm, not everyone.
Enjoy it. Because it's not easy to get in this position.
Should Jesse be allowed? Is this the second straight day that you've worn a Brewers themed celebratory shirt?
I think it's the
shirt?
Same shirt, actually.
No, I almost
spaghetti
did.
Spaghetti sauce.
Because I wore
on
one
it.
On Friday thinking they were going to win it on
That's
Friday.
That's what it was. Your Central Division champion shirt.
Uh-huh. And then I was going to wear that again today. I'm like, when did I wear that? Oh, yeah, I did wear that to the office. Probably shouldn't wear that one.
Should you be allowed to wear Brewers gear at all?
Is Dunzo's hand amputated?
He'll be here in a minute. He's a little early rising today. Or late, whatever.
Yeah. He drove in with you, so he's late.
He left the game early with Hunter last night. I am happy that the Brewers won the division. I am happy to be wrong.
I don't think you are.
And I said in June when I said they were donezo, I would be happy
like saying
if
you
they
love
would
Jimmy
be wrong.
Leonard. You Jimmy Leonard.
Yeah, like, kind of. I mean, not really the same at all. Like, you were hoping for yourself to be wrong so that you would be celebratory of your favorite team.
You know,
they are my favorite team. I am happy that they won the division. I want them to win a World Series.
What is that?
That's Sadie's got a dog toy.
39 wins the Oakland A's have. 39 wins. You have to try. You have to try to be that bad. And they swept the Brewers in May, June, whenever it was. I still
7.5% of their wins have come against the Brewers.
That's insane. It's unbelievable. But here we are, and it's impressive that this group, David Stearns leaves, all of the things that, you know, we thought were binding this thing together. Craig Counsell's in a lame duck year, and yet they continue to plug away. And with the way the thing is all played out, and if the pitching is as good as we think it is, bullpen's good, I'm sure they're saying, why not us? And I ask, why not us?
All right, a couple things. One, I think we've stopped the squeaky toy. Secondly, did you at least learn a lesson about overreacting to three baseball games in a 162-game season?
I have not learned that, no. I don't know if Jesse has. By the way, Jason, you were not exactly on the, Brewers
no,
are
no,
fine.
No. Go back and listen.
What did you say?
I pushed back on you guys the entire time.
Okay.
It's three games
in
a very long season.
Let's go back and check that.
Yeah, go back and check
it. I'd be happy to hear it.
I'll check it.
Yeah, but then we also get to listen to the two of you knuckleheads.
Yeah, Tausch skates by in this whole thing.
No, I've said that.
There are many that have pointed that out, in fact.
I was not.
We have beaten up Jesse repeatedly for this.
Yeah.
And that Tausch was complicit at minimum and a full-fledged partner. Probably more accurate.
It's because I am not looking at it. I understand there's ebbs and flows to baseball seasons. I get that. There's not an ebb and a flow to losing to a team that is literally has no interest in winning. None. At home. There isn't. You can lose one. Heck, you can lose two. To get swept? I'm sorry. That was brutal. And it deserved to be called out. And you know what? Maybe we spurred on this Brewers team.
Oh, boy.
I like to think we did. I like to think we are...
Only the two of you could take credit for a division title by being such knuckleheads about a three-game series.
And it wasn't just the three-game series. If you looked at it, the offense was putrid. The offense got markedly better.
So, 2 days before the series started, they won a game against the Orioles 10-2.
Baseball.
It's one game.
One game happens. Minimal sample size.
They lost the last game of the series with the A's 8-6.
Yeah.
Six runs, generally, pretty scored. Good.
That was garbage time runs in that. I remember it well.
I'm sure you do.
So here's the thing that I think we underestimated. At least I can say that I underestimated. The pitching staff was not healthy in early June. The pitching staff got healthy, and they have three horses that can carry a postseason run.
Yeah.
In Woodruff, Burns, and Freddie. And the back end of the bullpen is really good, too. They've got a formula. Now that they can score runs, they can't score runs great. They're not the Dodgers or the Braves. But
I hope Devin Williams was very cautious with his celebration.
Yes, let's not punch any walls this week. Yes. It is the season for wall punching. This is a team that has a formula that I think they've molded over the last few seasons because we've been so fortunate. I say we as a Brewers fan.
He should not be allowed to do that.
We have been fortunate to be part of this run with
this team. Jesse, come on back into bandwagon, baby. I've jumped back in probably late August. I jumped fully back on. Now I'm really up. I am excited. I love playoff baseball. I don't think...
It's fun.
It's hard to beat. I can remember I had just retired, and I think it was Arizona, like 2011-ish. And I remember watching at a local establishment thinking, this is what it's about. Yeah, because when you're playing, you can be a fan, but you can't really immerse yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff baseball is awesome.
The best game I've ever been to was Game 5 of the NLDS that year against the Diamondbacks. They won it in a walk-off. The Nigel Morgan.
Mark Canna?
No, it wasn't Mark Canna that year. He might have been playing. I don't know.
Kind of an important piece, though.
But we drove up from Peoria, where I had gone to college. It was a four-hour drive to get to Milwaukee for a 4 o'clock first pitch on a Friday afternoon. It was just electric.
You didn't have a lot going on back then, did you?
No, it was so fun to be able to be at that game. That was the best game I've ever been to.
So here's my question, because I have said repeatedly that after a 2-1 start, it would appear that my 6-11 prediction will be wrong for the Packers season. But I'm not up in the press box during Sunday's game going, God, I hope these guys lose so I can be right at 6-11.
Yeah, you've been real kind of not jumping on the Jordan Love bandwagon, either.
I am definitely still looking to see more.
I like him as a guy. Yeah.
Right. I'm just trying to accurately portray how he has played. That's all I've tried to do. That's how we got in that whole awesome argument. But I am not rooting for them to finish 6-11. If they can finish 9-8 and make the playoffs, that's going to be super fun to cover.
They're going to be better than 9-8 now, too.
Okay, great. I'll be happy to have been wrong.
I just saw Homer tweeted something out. The odds, you're not even getting even money anymore on them being a playoff team. They're going to be a playoff team is what Vegas is saying.
Mm.
That's how much it's swung.
And Vegas would also then be admitting that they were wrong.
Yeah, they went from 7.5 to 9.5 on the Dubs.
That's a pretty big swing for Vegas, is it
not?
Yeah. So my question is, Jesse, at what point, honestly?
He's not there yet. I could tell just by the show sheet.
Right.
You're not.
Like, I feel like you're still, like, now
come
you're
back
waiting
in.
For them
the
to punch out of the playoffs.
The water's warm. Jump on in this playoff bath.
Like, I feel like now you're hoping. Wow, double Tausch. That's a lot.
Whoops.
Now it just feels like you're now hoping that they flame out in the playoffs so that you can say, well, see, they never really belonged in the playoffs anyway, and I was right when Dunzo and I pronounced them dead on June 9th.
Off with your arm, Dunzo!
Uh-oh! Well, it's been nice knowing everybody! Anybody want to arm wrestle before I can't anymore?
I think just a hand. I think we just chop his hand off. Is that fair?
Now, as the person who gifted Dunzo to Jesse, I don't know. His head is like made of porcelain. So
we're not chopping. We're not Marianne Antoinette in him.
I understand.
Or her.
But
I don't. Do we know the gender of Dunzo, or is that fluid?
I'm not getting into that conversation.
I guess we've never clarified.
I'm just saying, I don't know what the rest of him is made of.
His hands are soft. He or she.
Their hands are soft.
Just like the back end of the Brewers' batting order, am I right? Hey, congratulations to the Cardinals on a 4-1 win last night. Got eliminated 4 weeks ago. They were donezo. They still won the game last night.
Yeah. By the way,
doesn't take anything away from the celebration that they lost last night. Are we all on the same page with that? I had Vinny on Wisconsin's Morning News this morning saying it took some of the enjoyment for him. I said, get over it. That's crazy talk. It's a long season. One game doesn't matter.
Some might say three
games against
dumps.
The worst team. Are the A's potentially the worst team in the history of baseball, or did they pass the Mets from way back? I think the A's have a chance to probably have the worst record in the history of baseball. I hope they do.
And yet, they still won the division despite those three losses. All right, I could sit and talk about Dunzo and the Brewers.
Well, what are we going to do with Dunzo? Do we cut his arm off, or is that just too cruel?
I mean, he is an inanimate object that we've turned into a character on the show.
There are too many people cheering for Dunzo's dismemberment.
Yeah, something we have to do something. I think an arm. We chop an arm off, and then if the Brewers win the World Series, we come back with like a Brewers sleeve, a tatted up sleeve on his arm, and we reattach.
Oh, no. Tatted up sleeve on the clown.
Yes.
Maybe we could just paint it on with clown paint.
I think we just chop one limb for every, like, they've clinched the division when they win the wild card round, DS, when they win the CS, and then we just throw them off the building when they win the World Series.
S's after the WS and then the CS. And, all right. I get it. But yes, chop an arm. Every time they clinch, every celebration they have, off with an arm or a foot or a leg.
Josh DiMaggio, who is, I don't have to say this sarcastically because it's true, one of the hardest working guys in show business.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Come on.
Leave by
Cat?
One every day. Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You disagree?
I think he works. I'm not going to sit here and say hardest working.
Do you think that working with Jesse has led me to give him more credit for how hard he works?
I don't know. That you'll have to determine. But to say he's the hardest working guy in show business, I think is even he would admit that's a stretch.
He has sent us the audio from that fateful, I think it was Monday, June 12th program.
Oh, so it was in June. Okay.
He has sent us
That's crazy. I could ask for audio 100 times over and never get anything, but this audio comes up without even asking. That's interesting.
Interesting that Josh would do that for you as opposed to the person you normally ask. Perhaps there's something to the hardest working man concept. Now, speaking of hard working, I don't know what we're going to do with this audio. Jesse, you can decide how much you're willing to replay, but
we're moving on. This show's moving on. Josh can do what he wants on his shows. Jesse and I are moving forward.
Because you were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. I'm fine with I admitted I was wrong in August. What else do you want me to say?
I told you in August
I said I was wrong.
I'm not talking to you.
Well, the first thing I said today was I'm glad I was wrong. And I said that in June. I'm glad that I was wrong about
the Brewers. Jason was wrong about the Packers last year, and we didn't crush him about it.
That was pretty close to me.
No, you were dead wrong.
You
said they were going to make the playoffs. They didn't. Okay. You were dead wrong. But that's the deal. You have to have opinions on things. You're going to be wrong sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, don't Jesse it and go all the way to the end of September. And then for a team that you hope is going to win, don't sit there and try to stick to your point. You have to go with the data that comes in and then you can shift course. It's okay to shift course. I shifted course in August. I was wrong for about 6 weeks.
You can move on all you want, but at some point we're playing at least a little bit of a flashback to June 12th.
Well, I think Jesse's in charge of that. So if Jesse decides to do that, we are a democracy here. We have two votes. We're going to vote no. And then if you want to go and take this on one of your other shows that you're doing, that's fine. But on this show, I think we're going to democratize this and say, we don't need to see it. We're moving on.
Interesting.
Democratizing it.
It'll probably be coming back on the bump here.
All I'll say is this. We all have opinions. Some of them are wrong. But our opinions about Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin being great is never wrong.
That is correct, and it is time. Jesse, it's time to change that old stinky attitude about the Brewers not making the playoffs. Dunzo, you're wrong to do it. And if you're thinking about, wait till wintertime to replace those old drafty windows. No. Don't do it during the dead of winter. Pella has a great deal going on right now. Pay as low as $19 a month per window, $75 a month on patio doors, and the installation is completed. No mess, no hassles, leaving nothing just like the Brewers, but perfect results for their regular season. Visit PellaWI.com today. 6.99% APR financing for 120 months. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details. This offer ends. What is today? 3 days. 30th. November 30th. No, September 30th. September 30th.
How are we still getting it wrong?
I don't know. I get it because I'm not always right, just like I wasn't right about the Brewers. But I am right. You need to go to PellaWI.com.
We'll see if Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are right about the injury report for the Green Bay Packers. They let the cat out of the bag a little bit about tomorrow night's game. We'll talk about that. And although we are democratizing it, there may be some clips to be heard of two doubters, as Frank Novak used to say about the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Wilde and Tausch.
The hunt for Brew October on 94.5 ESPN is here. Presented by Network Health. Also sponsored by Delta Dental, Annex Wealth Management, and Wintrust, Wisconsin's bank.
Feel like, thought it would be easy.
You're going to overreact to that level?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
I am. I don't think this team's got it.
So they've been in first place for all this time, and they lose. They get swept by the A's at home, and you, of all people, who has never been overreactionary guy. Like, we make fun of overreactions. We have Overreaction Monday to make fun of all the shows that overreact to stuff. You don't think you're overreacting?
No, I am overreacting. But I think this calls for overreaction.
Thank you. It does.
Guess that democracy we talked about is dead, huh? No more democracy on Wilde and Tausch. That's fine. I cannot wait until Jordan Love wins the MVP and Christian Watson. I can't wait to play Wilde's stuff from this offseason. That's what I'm looking for.
The day Christian Watson ends up on the cover of Madden.
It is going to be
victory lap Monday.
I'm old T. I will be insufferable T when that happens. I promise you
that. I got news for you. You already are.
You're a peach.
It is a democracy. Jesse clearly voted to play it.
Did he, or was he bullied?
I didn't bully him.
Okay.
The democracy is intact.
By the way,
Jesse Chose.
By the way,
I am
completely fine with this. I said it, and I believed it. And by the way, I said I was overreacting if you just heard that clip. I did overreact. That's what fans do. And you're not a fan, so you won't understand that. But yes, we just got swept by the worst team in. Again, I don't know if somebody at 565 is working today. Are the Oakland Athletics the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball with 39 wins? I don't know if that's the worst. It has to be knocking on the door of being the worst. And Jesse, 7% of their wins were on that weekend.
All right. So I don't know. I don't know how far you'd like me to go back. There were a lot of really bad teams back in the 19th century.
It's got to be 162 games. That's the only thing that I'm going to caveat this with. I think the Mets had a season that was god-awful. The Orioles had a year where they started off like 21 in a row that they lost. I'm guessing they're worse than maybe Oakland, but it can't be very many.
It's more than you would think.
Is it really? Well, it's because they swept the Brewers. If they only have 36 wins, it's probably...
The Brewers could just take 2 out of 3 in June. It's a
Did they play out in Oakland, too? Did they have three games?
Just the three.
Okay. Win the division and can't beat the Oakland A's once. What a world we live in, huh?
I'm not sure when they went to 162 games from 154.
I want to say it was late 50s is when they did that.
No, it can't be that, because the 1962 New York Mets were 40-120, which is 160? Was there like an intermittent, or did they have two rainouts?
Could have been rainouts.
Yeah, that happens.
Rainouts, it does.
You guys are just peaches. In 2003, the Detroit Tigers went 43-119.
Okay, that's
that was
not,
a bad team.
That's not beating the A's. A's are at 39 or 40
no,
wins right now.
They're at 48.
They have had 39. They must have been on a hot
streak. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good narrative.
They are the Oakland A's entering play today are 48-109.
That's not great.
It's not.
But it's not as bad as the 04 Tigers.
Better than
the... Hang on, Eddie. If the 04 Tigers would have came into at then Miller Park and swept the Brewers, I'd be overreacting to that too.
Okay. A few other really bad teams of recent vintage. The 2019 Tigers were 47-114.
Okay, so the A's are right there with them.
Tough years in Detroit.
Yeah, there have been some very
Sparky
tough
Anderson.
Years. The 1960
Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Alan Parrish. Who is their lefty? Frank Tanana.
I don't think it was Alan Parrish. I think it was Lance Parrish,
that great mitt.
Wasn't Alan Parrish the guy in
Frank
Monty?
Tanana, Jack Morris. Who was the closer on that team?
The 2013 Houston Astros were 51-111.
Yeah. Well, 50 wins is kind of that line of demarcation.
And the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2004.
Who was
also
the closer in those 84-85 Tigers teams? They had... Rigetti? Steve Rigetti? Okay, let's move on.
First of all, Dave Rigetti. Second of all, I think he... I don't remember him with the Tigers, but he
was
might
Goose
have been.
I think it maybe was Goose Gossage. Maybe it was the closer for that. Maybe it's Ducky. Ducky Gossage.
Yeah, I can only handle so much distraction at once. All right, that is our discussion of the Brewers. Is there more to that audio that you were intending to play, Jesse?
Just keep rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to hear it. All right, we have to get though to the news of the day. If you're a Packers fan, and look, this is not. We are 620 WTMJ is the radio flagship of the Milwaukee Brewers. We are excited here that these two knuckleheads were wrong.
How great was Uke again? 89 years old, spritz and bottles, and awesome.
Willie Hernandez, by the way, your closer for the 1984. Okay.
What a squad!
Detroit
that was
Tigers.
A squad. It was not like their 03 team.
No. Or their 04 team or their 2019 team. We need to get to Brian Bulaga, so we're going to take a break from our reliving June 12th, 2023, and talk to Blue. And you can take it to the bank that he's going to have great insight, and there's going to be some nerding out about the Packers' offensive line, because that's what those guys do. And it's great, and it's cool that we get to listen in as the two of them talk offensive line. So, we'll get to him coming up next. Want to remind you, though, that you can take it to the bank, that Blue's going to be good, and that Associated Bank is going to take great care of you. They've got the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. And more importantly, if you're a Packers fan, there's no better place to be, because not only do you get that great customer service, you also get Packers checking from Associated Bank. A Packers debit MasterCard, you can get... discount at the Packers Pro Shop and other great perks as well. So check out AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. The Ombudsman Rob Vogel informs me that the American League went to 162 games in 1961 and the National League went to 162 games in 1962. So they didn't even do it in the same year?
Well, that's there was weird. No interleague play then.
I understand. Still weird. We'll talk to Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
We're the famous friends that you never heard of. This guy you've heard of for sure. We're excited that he joins us once a week to talk offensive line play and other stuff. He is the former Packers right tackle. He followed in the footsteps of the Ring of Honor right tackle Mark Tauscher. He's Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
All right, I got a question before we start. You were teammates.
Wouldn't that start though? If this is your question,
no. This is not. This is not related to the great things that Brian brings to the show.
Okay.
You were teammates with Tausch for a year. You've been friends with him for 14 because you were a rookie in 2010.
Yep.
I'm curious, in your experience with him, how is he at admitting when he's wrong? And were any instances throughout your time together?
That's a great question, Jason.
Some battles over getting an acknowledgement that perhaps he was incorrect about something.
I feel like he sometimes is able to admit, but I think he likes to go down with a little bit of a debate about, you know, the proving that he's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I think,
yes,
make you earn it.
He'll admit it, but there has to be a debate about it, I think, is, you know, and, you know, just some back and forth conjecture about if he's right or wrong. I think that is what that's the path he likes to go down. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong
with
that.
I think that's an incredibly fair assessment of the situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. Totally agree.
That's just my experience.
Not different than mine, really. All right, it's great to have you. We did spend the first half hour of our program reliving Tausch and Jesse throwing dirt on the Brewers on June 12th that they were dead after they'd been in first place and then lost three straight to the Oakland Athletics. So we don't need to relive that some more. You've given your insight into his personality, and that will suffice. Let's talk about the Packers and the Lions and Thursday night football. Some good news on the Packers injury front. Both Aaron Jones and Christian Watson, had they had an actual practice, would have participated. They obviously had a walkthrough instead. But the cat's been let out of the bag that both of those guys are planning on and are expected to play tomorrow night. Not sure about Dave. Definitely not going to have Elton. Not sure about Zach Tom, although he would have been limited yesterday. When you look at the injury report on a short week, having played on plenty of Thursday nights, how much optimism do you have for this team given its injury report?
Obviously, it's big having Watson and Aaron Jones back. I think what Watson's going to do for the pass game and being able to open up throws down the field is going to be huge. I think that was something Homer and I were going back and forth on. He's like, he's bad at throwing the ball downfield. I go, well, he doesn't really have a down the field weapon, so you can't really judge him on that when Watson is the guy who they're going to stretch the field with. So I think getting him back and letting him stretch the field, and then Dobbs and Reed kind of run those, you know, intermediate routes and you know, get balls thrown over the middle, and Musgrave, I think you're going to see the pass game open up, and then you throw Aaron Jones in there, who can come out of the backfield, who can go into the slot, who can do a bunch of different things. I think it's going to be great. Now, you look over on the offensive line perspective, I'm a little nervy, because to do all that fun stuff, you got to be able to protect the quarterback. And, you know, we don't know about Dave. We certainly know about Elton. And obviously, Zach Tom is a big question with Hutchinson coming in, because he's a really good pass rusher, and you need a right tackle that can block a really good pass rusher. So I'm a little nervy about it. I think the fact that Zach Tom was limited in practice is a good sign, right? It's that maybe the knee's a little bit better than what they initially thought, you know, during the game, which is good. I always looked at it as a Thursday game. If you're limited throughout the week, you're probably going to play, is the way I looked at it. If it's a short week and it's a, you know, did not participate, you're probably not playing. It's different with Dave, right, because he hasn't practiced all year. So that one's hard to judge. You know, that one's tough to kind of put a finger on. But the other guys, if they're limited, there's a good chance they're probably going, would be my guess.
So, Blue, we were discussing this last week in the injury report, and then Aaron Jones practiced a little bit. How much do you think, and, you know, you dealt with injuries, I dealt with injuries, when you have that 2 games in 5 days. How much of it do you think that the training staff and everybody looks at and says, well, if we can get by this game against New Orleans and get into the divisional against Detroit on the 4-day rest, that's what we want to do? Do you think there's any of that almost saving guys, or do you think it's if you can go, you can go? How much of it do you think you balance that out?
Yeah, I think in this particular case, you're right. I think it was the staff and, you know, the training staff and the coaching staff, really LaFleur and probably Goody, going, let's give these guys an extra 4 days. I really do, because you know you beat the Bears week one. If you beat the Lions in week two, you go 2-0 in the division is huge to start off the season. Then the bye week's coming up here pretty soon, right? So you get into, you know, the first quarter of the season potentially 3-1, which is
awesome.
A phenomenal start,
mm-hmm, no doubt,
within the first quarter of the season. And I think that's probably the way they were looking at it, was let's make sure Watson's really good, because what he does is stretches the field. He's going to be running a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Aaron Jones, you saw him warming up before the game. He looked okay. You know, maybe they already had it planned that he was going to sit this one out. I don't think anything happened during that warm-up where he was like, doesn't feel right. I think they probably already had that planned.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think it was probably a concerted effort by the coaching staff and the training staff to give those guys 4 extra days and get them ready for this Thursday night game, a big division game.
So you watched film again. Break it down for us. You know, everybody's getting after Royce again. It's, you know, 4 pressures he gave up. And what did you see up front? And I want your weekly Josh Myers update, because that's what we do.
Shade!
Ooh, I mean, come on. You're killing me with it. I'll start with positives, because I like to start that way.
Yeah,
that's you.
I thought Walker played really well. I really did. I thought Walker played really well. I thought Zach Tom played really well. Obviously, he got nicked up. He slid kind of weird on the turf when Cam Jordan did a little out-to-end bull rush type move, kind of slid out. But I thought he did well. You didn't really hear Cam Jordan much, which was what I was mm-hmm. really looking for yep. in that game, mm-hmm. which speaks volumes to Zach Tom. And then we go interior of the line, right?
Is this where the negative comes into play?
this is where a little bit of a, you know, dark cloud comes in, right? Like, and I'm going to go a little positive, because I thought Myers was probably the best out of the interior three against the Saints. Probably the best out of the interior three. How you want to take that? That's up to everyone
did you
listening
see improvement?
And you guys personally.
Yeah, Blue, did you see improvement from the first 2 weeks, or did you see kind of the same things that you saw the first 2 weeks with Josh?
A little improvement. In the run game, I saw a little bit of improvement. I mean, but I look at it, they didn't do much in the run game, right? The run game was bad, again. Which is an issue for me. But they were all, the interior three couldn't really get anything going in the run game. I mean, I thought Myers did a little bit better. In pass pro, I still think he gets a little bit overextended. And what I mean by that, Tausch knows what I mean, but for people listening, I think he plays too much over his, you know, he leans too much.
Toes.
You know,
as my
agent told me when I was Tom Condon, you know, when I was coming out as a rookie, he's like, you don't want to be a heavy-legged waistbender. And what that means, you got slow feet and you bend to, you lean over to try to block guys. You don't want to do that. And
it's good advice. Kinda, really like, good advice.
And when I watch Myers, I get that vibe at times. And the thing that bothers me about it is he's got good feet and he's athletic enough. So I don't understand why he puts himself in these positions that he does that. But you look at things that happen up front, especially on the interior, you know, games and stunts and passing things off, and he's always leaning, and he's way ahead of himself, and he's, you know, his arms are super extended, and he's driving guys, and then a looper comes, and he can't get off to get to looper. So it's stuff like that I just don't understand what he, you know, I think he's
so why do you
in
think
a
he
rush
does,
all the time.
Brian, why do you think he does that? Because to me that means you're panicking.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He's in a rush. He's in a rush.
Why?
And to me it seems, and because I've been in that position as a rookie, I mean, freaking out all the time, panicking. And then I got, you know, King Calm next to me in Sitton, who was, you know, just.
Let me tell you something. Sitton wasn't like that. Sitton wasn't King Calm in the beginning. I could tell you that, too.
No. I'm saying, like, you know, the beacon of positivity that Sitton was next to me.
God,
you know,
yeah.
Just super positive
yep,
all the time.
Very much so.
it's just, you know. So I feel like when you're in a rush like that and you seem like you're panicking, you're not seeing the game clearly enough. right? You're only mm-hmm. so locked in on the guy that you have mm-hmm. to block all the time that
no
you're not seeing the big picture.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not seeing the big picture of what could happen. Or as we always like to talk about it in the O-line room, I won't say for Jesse because I know Jesse may freak out, the bad word that comes with it, but what can bleep up your day, right? That's what we always – what could mess up our day? What could the defense do in this play or this call that could really mess up our mm-hmm. day? And you plan for that, and you have that in the back of your head. So as you're taking a pass set or you're in the run game and stuff starts to happen and fly around you, you anticipate it and you're ready to go. And it just seems like he doesn't have that switch in the back of his head to go, okay, this could happen. This could really mess up my day right now. How do I adjust if this happens? And then when you're in that motive, you're always just a step behind and you're not anticipating things. You kind of see what you see
right.
on tape. So, and
yeah, Blue, I wonder,
I don't know.
Yeah, I just wonder, obviously, neither of us played center. But that's another thing to think about. You think it might be the case where if you slid him to guard, where you just could focus more on that, you don't have the other stuff? Or do you think that's just an inherent part of how the mind works with how Josh does it? Because centers have a lot more to think about than what we as tackles had to do and guards. Is that something, or do you think it's just this is who Josh is? He's aggressive. He wants to get his hands on people and get to work and not really being spatially aware of what other things could be coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think, has he played guard is my first question, right? Like, has he even taken a snap since his time in Green Bay at guard?
Probably not.
I don't believe
that's
so,
the
no.
biggest question. Like, yeah. I don't think so. So to think about that switch right now is, like,
crazy.
Kind of mind-blowing to me because then you're putting in a new center, and a new center then has to start making these IDs and do that, and then Jordan has to trust him in front of him. And, you know, it's – there's a lot that goes into that, but I understand what you're saying. I just think that's kind of where Myers is right now. I just think that's where he is. And he's going to get – I hope he gets better, and I hope he improves, and I hope he settles down. But, you know, it's kind of been the same pattern throughout the last few years. You know what I mean? And the reason why I can't say I'm completely optimistic because he had a guy behind him the first 2 years that literally ran the show. He did everything, right? He mm-hmm. made the adjustments. He made the calls. Or if Myers was wrong, he would make that adjustment for him. He didn't have to think. Now he's got to think a little bit more, right,
with
Jordan behind him and take that off of Jordan's plate.
Maybe that's part of the problem is that he got a little comfortable with – having a guy who could erase his mistakes, because he did tell me that in the offseason, how different this is from his previous 2 years. Now, on the flip side, he's not getting his ass chewed like he would from the other guy. So there's checks and balances there. All right, I want to delve into for tackle talk next. How do you prepare when you know, both of you have done this many times, that a stud is coming in and you're going to have to block him? Because Aiden Hutchinson, I know his sack
food
numbers.
Cliffy said food poisoning is what he looked at. That's how he played.
Strip mall sushi is the key for everyone. We'll talk about getting ready for Aiden Hutchinson next with Brian Belaga. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Chris Young and Kane Brown, they're like Mark Tauscher and Brian Belaga. What a duo.
I want to see if I can get Blue to duet with me on one of my headline songs. I wonder if I could swing him over and see if I can't do it.
Okay. Chargers week.
Got about 22 hours.
Chargers week. Perfect. See if we can get Lindsley to jump in, too. It'll be fun.
And Dan Fouts. All right, so Aiden Hutchinson is coming to town. He did not have a sack in the first two games, but his pressure numbers were high, according to Pro Football Focus. Then he had two sacks, including a strip sack, against Atlanta. We know he's a good player. He had two sacks in the finale last year when the Packers missed the playoffs because they lost to a Lions team that had nothing to play for in terms of postseason berths. The guy's a stud. He's in his second year. How do you, I turn the floor over for tackle talk to the two of you, how did you go about preparing for a guy that you knew was a really good player coming in, and how do you expect the Packers to handle him and keep him from doing what Matt LaFleur said he does, which is he's a game wrecker?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was always, I didn't want to psych myself out. So you watch the film, you understand. I always would look to see if they tipped anything as far as if they'd line up off the ball a little bit, or if your three technique over the guard would tip something that a stunt's coming, that maybe he'd be coming inside. But for the most part, it was you would work your sets, you do your normal stuff, and if you started getting out over your skis and watching a bunch of film where they're dominating, I think that could actually set something in your head that is not a positive thing. So you watch the film, but I would always get to the point where it's like, okay, I've seen enough of that. I know he's good. I know I'm going to need to have myself lined up. I actually think some guys, and I don't know how Blue approached it, I think some guys will sit there and let all of those good plays sink into your psyche. That was always what I wanted to avoid. It was more, if I can do what I need to do, if I can get in my spot before he gets to his spot, I always felt good about that scenario. Now, when you're playing on the road and all the other things, that adds to the stress level for an offensive tackle. But I never felt, and I was maybe delusional, but I always felt like if we played at home, I didn't care who you put out there. It was on the road. Yeah. How can I steal a step? How can I do these things to get back? And always trying to figure out if they would tip anything. Because a lot of guys tip stuff. And when you can get that tell, that helps you produce and play. That was always, when I looked at film, those were the things I focused on. I didn't get caught up in, did you see what he did to that Giants tackle? Oh, my God. Did you see him fire this guy out? Like, if you're going against Reggie White, did you see what he did to Eric Williams? No, I got that out of my head. I didn't know that. Did I know he's going to club me? Certainly. But I'm not going to sit here and think about that the entire week.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I think that is a big part. I think what I would do throughout the week, knowing a premier guy was coming in, you'd see the tape of what they did to win, right? Like when he made those impact plays, you'd watch that. You see what he's winning on. So what he did against Atlanta, you would see what he won on, what he feels comfortable going to. And then that's about as much of his dominant tape that I would watch. I'd watch everything else. You would see what he consistently goes to, even when he's not winning or he's not making the impact plays, you would watch that. And what I would like to do throughout the week and in practice would be, I would tell the scout team guy exactly what he likes to go to win. So I would give the scout team DN, hey, I want you to just constantly do this. And I would change my sets up to see how I would fare against that type of move. You're not going to get the same guy, right? Like, Hutchinson's not the practice squad guy doing it, so it's not going to be as effective. But if I could take different sets to what he does well, and I realize, okay, I can't take that type of set against this, I'll lose consistently or I'm going to be behind the eight ball, I would kind of test that out throughout the week. I went into the games going, I'm going to take one thing away from him. So if he's a big power-to-rip guy, I'm going to take away his power moves, and I'm going to make him go more finesse so that I know – as I'm, you know, pass setting and taking away a direct line of power for him, I'm probably going to get finesse. I'm going to get more chopping and spinning or this. You got to take the lesser of two evils. And so if Hutchinson, which he looks like he's a strong kid. He's got good power and he works a lot of his moves off of power. I'm going to try to take away power and figure out everything else that comes with it. Because if you're giving these guys the freedom to go to power, to go to speed, and you're not taking something away, you're giving them all the freedom in the world to just test you on different things throughout the game, which, listen, there's going to be times where maybe you're late off the ball, which, hey, I will say, as much as we gave the Chiefs right tackle, a lot of stick for potentially leaving earlier in that, that's the most important thing against a guy like this is getting off the ball. Mm-hmm. You have to get off the ball. Like, you can't be late against Hutchinson because he's going to turn speed into power and walk you right back to the quarterback. So if you're not off the ball before him, you're already behind the eight ball. So they can say what they want. Oh, he was cheating. Get out of here. He's playing football. So the thing that I look at it as is take what he does well away from him. And you may not do it perfectly, but you can dictate a lot of things by the pass set that you take against a guy like that and make him go to something that maybe he's not completely comfortable doing. And whether that's speed or whatever, you can maybe mitigate the power rush that he likes to do based on your set alone. And so, that's kind of the way I looked at it.
So, Blue, before we let you go, Royce Newman, we did not get your breakdown of Royce because there's a lot of calls for, well, put Sean Ryan in there. He did this. How did you assess his game, and would you make that move?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of said that early last week.
You did.
I think I was on with you guys when I said it.
Yep.
I would give Ryan a shot. And I stand by that today after watching it and rewatching it. I think you're going to get what you're going to get from Newman. And what you saw is what you're going to get. And if that's good enough for, you know, what the team's looking for, then that's what you're going to get. I don't think it's going to get much better. I think where he's at is where he's at, right? So if it's me, I'm giving Ryan a shot. Just to see. Again, I know it stinks to be rotating guys in and out throughout a game. It's hard to do. I get it. I understand it. But we're not going to know unless you try it. Now, they may be in practice, and Sean Ryan can't block a scout team guy. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not at practice. I have no idea what's going on there. But I said it last week. There's something that happens to guys when they get into live action, right? Like, there's –
sink or swim.
Some guys, a light switches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes a light switches on. And you got guys that go out there and just play out of their mind, which could be the case. We don't know because we haven't really seen it. But I think potentially that may be a move that they should consider. I don't know if they're going to, especially with a short week and guys are banged up on the O-line. They're not totally sure who's going to be able to go and who's not. So they probably won't do it. But I'd like to see it. At least see, right? I mean, I don't, and this sounds so bad, and I hate the O-line slander. I hate it. But I look at it as, can it get worse? Is my question.
God.
Can it get worse?
That is O-line slander.
And I'm just being dead honest.
Yeah.
I'm just being dead honest. Like, and like, I don't want everyone to think on here that this guy can't block anyone. He's this, but that's not what I'm saying. But when you have the rushing numbers that you have through the first 3 weeks of the season, something needs to change. And right now, I'm not talking about Jordan Love putting up 40 yards rushing on his own throughout the game, right? I'm talking about pure runs. I mean, the Packers were 26 attempts, 95 yards. Jordan Love had 9 rushes, right? Dylan was 11 for 33.
Yeah, not good.
And that wasn't much different than the week before, nor the week before that.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
Like, something's going on here, right?
And it wasn't just him.
Corrected.
Right? I mean, Wilson and Patrick Taylor didn't gain much when they ran the ball either.
No. So, like, I think it was the first look was, there's something wrong with A.J. Dillon. Okay, well, then the other guys come in, and the same story kind of happened. So, like, there's something going on, and the run game is so dependent on the interior three. Like, I get the tackles have a play in it on the backside of runs and creating cut lanes, but the interior three are so important in the run game, especially with this scheme. I've said it a million times, but the interior three need to be able to create a new line of scrimmage in this offense and jump hook guys and reach guys and cut the defense off and do things. And if that's not happening,
reach the
we're
shade.
Gonna continue to see reaching the shade is, you know, A1 right there. But if this continues to happen, we're going to see the same run numbers week in and week out, right? And that's not a winning formula for the team that is currently built right now on offense. It just isn't. You're gonna be asking Jordan Love to have these late game heroics every week, and it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's not. You have nothing else to rely on and lean on.
Brian. Wednesdays are great.
That's a great set. Great set. You stayed in balance. You weren't a heavy-toed waist bender.
Heavy-legged waist bender.
I guarantee you, Wildy will use that quote, I guarantee, dimes to donuts, in one article this weekend. I don't know when, but I guarantee he uses it.
Blue, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.
That is Brian Bulaga. The two of you going back and forth is just one of my favorite things that we do around here. I look forward to it every Wednesday. I still have a bunch more for Tackle Talk, but I'll have to save it for next week. The 10 o'clock hour is going to start well after 10 o'clock. But that's okay, because that was worth it. It's Will Dean Tauscher.